Welcome back to another episode of NBL Now. The NBL season may be done and dusted, but it doesn't mean anything slows down. The free agency is continuing as everybody prepares for NBL 25. So during this period, we're going to go around to all the teams. We're going to catch up and see what they're doing. And it's pleasured me a lot to welcome in this next guest, coach from the New Zealand Breakers, Motu Maior. Firstly, how are you doing? Did you get any downtime after the NBL season? What have you been up to?
Doing well. Thanks, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to talking to you because there's plenty I want to chat about. Firstly, before we get into some new signings and planning on for NBL 25, you had a chance to reflect on last season. I know you don't like looking back too often, but try and summarize briefly how you took things away from NBL 24.
No, honestly, we love looking back. And I love looking back. It's just about doing it in the appropriate time and kind of making sure it's about, you know, analyzing the right kind of data, looking at the right kind of film, asking honest and real questions about what we did well, what we didn't, making sure we cover all our bases, on court, off court, personnel, coaching, training, load management, etc. And then kind of digging deep and finding all the answers. We're not done with our postseason review, but we've definitely found a lot of things that have been interesting to see and a lot of things that have kind of influenced our decisions moving forward with this roster build and are going to influence more decisions down the road.
Do you take a sense of pride out of the fact that through all the injuries you faced, all the things that are out of your control, where you managed to finish the season and a couple of shots away here or there from continuing on and really having a crack at a championship run, that a lot of other teams potentially would have fallen apart, but you just continued to find a way to be there at the end of the postseason?
Yeah. Don't know if pride is kind of the right word, but it definitely is something that was important that didn't get lost in the shuffle. We knew kind of during the season how talented we were, and our expectations were always very high from ourselves. And the end result was not the end result that we wanted, but it was important to still see the things that we did do well. We overcame a lot, and this team had a very different kind of narrative and a very different feel than the team we had 2 years ago. It took us time to find our identity. It took us time to gel. We went through significant challenges. Some of them had to do with injuries, and some of them didn't. And we obviously had the right culture in place, and a lot of things were in the right place in order for us to overcome these challenges and kind of hit the end of the season playing good basketball. It was one shot away from, that ball kind of went in and out. Parker's kind of bad shot, but Parker's fadeaway three kind of rattled in and out. And if it goes in, then, you never know how things end.
Tell us a bit about the conversation in retaining Parker Jackson-Carra, because it's no secret the New Zealand Breakers, you've nailed three imports two seasons in a row, the best import trio in the league, which is hard to do. You've got PJC back for another year. When did those conversations start?
Conversations with Parker kind of ongoing. Like most of the relationships we have with our players, they're pretty close and personal. For me, it's always about finding a win-win kind of situation. Yeah, it needs to be right for the Breakers and it needs to be right for Parker. And season ended when we had questions that we needed to answer about our roster. And the right way, in my opinion, to build a roster in the NBL is to start with your local core. And once we had a sense of where kind of our local core was going and how this was going to fall, then retaining a guy like Parker made a lot of sense. Parker loves New Zealand. We have a very good relationship. He loves the Breakers. And I think he had a strong sense of unfinished business, like we all did. It's great to get a guy like him back. He's as big as an anchor as you can ask for, right? He dictates a style of play. There's strengths and weaknesses that come with him that now we have the ability to kind of build around, find players that magnify strengths and find players that kind of shore up his weaknesses. And yeah, it's fantastic identity piece. And in reality, at the end of the day, a lot of props to management, specifically to Matt, around kind of understanding and getting a pulse for how big Parker was to our fan base and how much he means kind of to the club. And very hard for us to re-sign an import, and Matt really went above and beyond from this.
Well, tell us a little bit about that journey of, signing imports and then retaining, because you have nailed it, and not every team can do that, to have imports come in who have not seen the league or played in the league and have the success that they've had 2 years in a row. What is the secret to success? How do you continue to nail it?
And so let's start with the fact that it's not just me. There's a group of people that do work in this space and do really good work. The second part is that there's a level of luck that's involved. There is, every time you take a human being and you plop it into a different environment, then there's going to be factors that are out of your control. Maybe he hates the food. Maybe he hates the weather. Maybe he doesn't get along with other people. Maybe the accent. It doesn't matter. There's so many factors that you don't control, right? So there's obviously a level of luck that goes into this that I'm definitely aware of. And then there's a few things in our process that I think serve us the right way. One, we have a very strong idea of how we want to play. So we don't just look for talent. We look for talent and fit. There's a bunch of players in the offseason that we can look and say, man, he's incredible, but he's not for us. For different reasons. It can be basketball-wise, can be character-wise, can be work ethic-wise, etc. So we have a really clear identity of how we want to play. We have a really clear idea of how we want to be off the court. We have a really clear idea of what are the traits that work with me, that work with us in kind of our environment. And it's not for everyone. People that are looking for a really great work-life balance, I'm not the coach for them. People who are really locked in about taking the next step in their career, getting better and being pushed and being challenged and being competitive, then I am the right coach for them. So we have a really clear idea of what we're looking for. And the last part is I think we spent a lot of time and a lot of effort in studying our players, you know, studying them from a basketball standpoint and getting to know them as people and spending time with them and all these things together. And again, with a little bit of luck at the end, have served us well, and we're not steering away from this process.
And you talked about continuing to build this roster out, and we'll just touch on a couple of the names that you have brought in, but some of the names you've lost as well, not just this coming off season, last off season as well. These don't necessarily come as a shock to you, I feel. I feel like there's always a level of preparation that, one, there's going to be movement inevitably with the roster, but there's always going to be significant pieces you're prepared that may move on, and that's all we've seen in Liafa and Will McDowell-White as well.
Yep, for sure. You know, when you do well and players do well, then they become attractive to other teams. And normal process within kind of, you know, the cycle of a team. Nobody stays. This one club kind of guy like Tom is a beautiful story. But the world's changing, not just in basketball. I know our parents worked in one company for 30 years and retired there and got a nice watch and a plaque or something like this. And this generation changes professions and moves around and changes countries. And we're part of a very dynamic market, and it's very normal. We have contingency plans in place, and hopefully we get the right ones.
Let's talk about some of the players that you have managed to bring over to the Breakers. Let's start with Jonah Bolden, as it was announced recently officially. 1 year back from being retired, we saw those flashes of the old Jonah Bolden for the Sydney Kings. What are you most excited about from coaching him at NBL 25?
Man, Jonah, there's a theme around the guys that we brought in. With all of them, I feel there is a wealth of untapped potential. Yeah, there's room to do much better. It doesn't matter now if it's Jonah or Mojave or Mitch and the other guys that we'll add later on, or that we'll make public later on. Like, there's a wealth of talent there that's been untapped. I played against Jonah. I coached against Jonah when he was a EuroLeague player 7 years ago. He was playing mainly the four, not the five. This had to do a little bit with him and a little bit with how basketball's changed. And there are a few traits there that I am really interested in. One, he is an incredible open court player, which marries beautifully with Park. The other side of it is he is a very instinctive decision maker. Parker's phenomenal at creating advantages, and kind of he will beat his own man 9 out of 10 times. Like, he will put you in a situation where you need to get into a scrambled floor. And I think one of Jonah's best skills, probably his best skill as a player, is taking advantage of a jumbled court. If you hit Jonah with the ball when there's a 4-on-3 situation somewhere, he's really good at exposing this. Shooting, driving, and passing. Doesn't matter now if he does this from the 4, the 3. And the way we play, it's a little bit more with the 4, which is kind of where we're going to see more minutes from Jonah. But I think those two traits really marry beautifully into the things we want to do. Obviously, the shooting is phenomenal, has been phenomenal. He shot the ball incredibly well last year, and he's doing the same now in Puerto Rico. And one of our biggest weaknesses last season was on the glass, something that we really want to address. And having Jonah play both at the 4 and at the 5 will make us better in this space.
And I feel like that has been lost in the fact of the Sam Menenga signing is huge as well, because another one who we saw step out, shot the three when he wanted to at a very high rate. And again, you mentioned the struggles on the glass. We know he's a bigger body. It seems like you're putting together this little puzzle piece of they can rotate in and out. But again, that spacing of the floor with both of those is going to help Parker Jackson-Carr be at that MVP level that we saw this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely really interested in giving Parker as many driving lanes as I can. And we want to create the situation where the floor is really spaced, his ability to get to the paint is really unique. And the combination of Stam and Jonah together is this is definitely one of the draw cards for this, right? They're both the mobility, the shooting, the decision-making, coupled with kind of the level of physicality is definitely something that I'm interested in.
And the other two you mentioned, Mahabe King and Mitch McCarron, both, I think, guys who are coming into NBL 25 with a chip on their shoulder. And there's been a lot of media around Mitch McCarron's last 3 years, but we also see during those 3 years when he wears an Australian jersey in the games for the whatever the cup it is at the time, that he steps back to the way he wants to play and he's looking forward to this new change of scenery. What entices you most about both of these players joining the Breakers?
Obviously, really different players, right? And really different career arcs. Happy to touch on Mitch first. This is not a knock. What I say now is not a knock on anybody. Adelaide faced their own challenges and needed to do things in their own way. This is not a knock on Adelaide in any way, shape, or form. In my opinion, if you judge a fish by how fast he runs, then you're going to, like, all fish are going to be pretty slow. Mitch was never the go-to guy on a winning team. This wasn't his strength. He is an incredible glue guy. He's an amazing secondary creator. He's, when he was kind of in that role also in Adelaide, he was great. And all these things, like, he still does them. He still defends at a high level. Really good kind of ball mover. Makes all these small winning plays all the time. Can defend multiple positions. There's a positional size there that allows him to kind of move around because Parker can only defend certain kind of players. So having Mitch with this kind of versatility really helps. And the last thing is that he's won. Like, Mitch has been on, he knows what winning looks like. And part of this roster build, I mean, and this is a terrifying side for me, I've always coached with Tom Abercrombie on the floor. This is the kind of guy that shows everybody and the way he does things what winning looks like. People don't know, or maybe they do, but how amazing Tom is in the, just in your regular everyday training kind of environment. This guy lives what winning basketball is. And Mitch has this knowledge. And we have a pretty young team. Like, we look at Mojave, Meninga, Jonah maybe is not so young in years, but he hasn't played so much basketball with his retirement in the middle. Next Star, which will end up being in the mix, etc. Like, we're a young team and we need people that know what winning looks like. And Mitch does. So all these things together, I think the fit with our style of play, the fit with Parker and kind of the experience that he brings coupled with this chip on his shoulder and something to prove, I think it's a beautiful marriage for us.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think he's very much looking forward to that change of scenery. And Mojave King, another one we saw him briefly as a next start, then going overseas, coming back. And again, I think a lot of people, it's going to take a lot of people by surprise just how ready he is for this second opportunity in the NBL.
How many times do you get a chance to sign a local who's an NBA prospect? This is, this is rare. The raw talent that this kid has is real. We're talking about a 21-year-old who was at the top of his draft class in every kind of physical metric that you want, can really shoot the ball, and has had a tough stretch. Hasn't found kind of his groove. Had a good season with G League Ignite, not this year, but the year before. Where he kind of played the role that is a little bit more suited for him and fits him a little bit. And still, the G League is not really the right place for a kid like him, in my opinion. More of a guy that will thrive in structure and less in randomness. And I'm super excited to see what we can do with him. He's, in many ways, there's a lot of similarities between him and Mantas. Same size, same body type, same kind of skill set. And Mantas really thrived in our offense. And I'm expecting Mojave to really do the same.
Can't wait to see him back in the league. So touch us a little bit, give us an enlightenment on what remaining pieces are you looking for, particularly the import spots, what kind of players, also what positions, and what moves we're expecting to hear next.
There's another local big that needs to kind of get thrown into the rotation, more at the 4, maybe 4-3 than the 5. Shooting will be a premium here. We're kind of locking in on someone that I like and I think has the same kind of upside. The last two pieces will probably, we're looking at a wing at the local spot. And then the last piece will be something that kind of tailors to whoever, whatever the skill set this wing brings, right? So want to make this puzzle piece kind of fit. For me, when you're looking at the ninth, eighth guy off the bench, seven, eight, nine, they need to have like a calling card. There needs to be a reason why I look over to the bench and I say, hey, this is you now coming. You give me a solution, whether this is defense or versatility or shooting or whatever this kind of is that they bring. They need to have some kind of calling card. And we're definitely looking at this. We're looking to bring in somebody that fits this kind of mold. As far as imports go, probably going to go with a true five. Somebody more in the mold of Derek Pardon from 2 years ago. Again, the fit is around the style of play and the character, which is kind of the same for us always. So somebody that fits kind of an open court style of play, fits with Parker, doesn't necessarily stretch the floor. We have our stretch version when we have Sam and Jonah in, and an anchor kind of on the glass. And the last piece will be another perimeter play, another creator. We obviously lost a significant creator with Will. We're not going to bring in an import version of Will. We're going to bring in somebody slightly different, but another person who can definitely create offense and kind of be second fiddle to Parker.
You mentioned the name Derek Pardon. I heard a few months ago that he had popped up and talking to some teammates about how he did miss the NBL. Is his name completely off the whiteboard? There's no chance Derek Pardon will be returning?
I mean, I love Derek, and I would love to have Derek. He has just had an incredible season in B2, was the best big in Japan. His team just went up to B1. The nature of that market and the financials kind of in Japan make it not so relevant for us. So if at some point, I mean, I'm sure DP will hear this and he knows how much I love him and miss him. If you ever really miss living on the North Shore, man, you have a spot and a home with us. But other than that, I'm really happy for him and his progression and the way his career has been developing.
I think we'd all like to see that as well. So I guess we'll watch this space. Are you envisioning to have those import pieces done before Summer League, or are we going to see you in Summer League and having a look around at some talent there?
There's definitely no rush from a time standpoint. It's about getting the right one. If the right player arises in June, awesome. If we need to wait till kind of late July, then that's okay too. It's about finding the right person. There's no timetable, and it was really important for us to get the first pieces of the local roster in place. And I mean, Parker was huge getting it done so early. So we really have our template in place. So we can keep searching until we find the right person.
It's good to hear, because you owe me a dinner this year in Vegas after going out early last year. Before I let you go, Coach, there's been a lot happening in free agency so far. Has there been any move around the league, whether it's a team that's been loading up or a certain player that's surprised you so far?
Good question. I was a little surprised with the way Solby exited Brisbane. Not good or bad, just a little caught me by surprise. I thought, I know they were coming off a lot of money with Baines coming off the books, and I thought keeping Solby after the season that he had was kind of a, I don't know, for me, Solby's been in Brisbane. This is kind of his home, and I was surprised about that. But other than that, no, not really. Seems like teams are kind of following the progression that we expected, and the dominoes are kind of falling in the way you think. The big fish take the big pieces, and it kind of flows on from there.
Well, I'm going to ask you one more question to finish, because we got posed this during the last Marketplace app on who we thought had won free agency so far. I said the Breakers for everything that you've just outlined in detail and depth. If you can't pick yourself, do you have an answer for me on who you think's won free agency up until this point as we record this at the start of May?
No, not because I'm avoiding a hard question, because you don't win or lose free agency. You win or lose basketball games. And the reality is, like in all these things, there is so much that we don't know. Yeah, we don't know what constraints teams are working with. We don't know what budgets they're working with. We don't know all the contract situations with everybody. To sit here and judge, like I've seen people judge our signings for good and for bad, and like the amount of circumstances that go into this are so big that to sit here and judge them would really be not professional from my side. What I can say is the same thing that I've said over the past 3 years. The NBL just keeps going from strength to strength, man. Like, you keep looking at these rosters and you keep looking at the moves that teams are making, whether it's local talent or imports or coaches. It keeps getting better and better and tougher, and the challenges keep growing, and it's beautiful. Like, this is fantastic.
Coach, we appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of your roster shapes out. I'm looking forward to that dinner, which I will hold you to this time in a few months. But
man, don't threaten me. Just come. It's easy.
Coach, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to continue all the updates throughout the free agency, so stay tuned to the NBL socials for all your updates, and we'll talk to you soon.